TV time machine, TV time machine, woo! TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine, TV time machine.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Season two, premiere of the TV Time Machine podcast. Once again, as always, I am Luis.
And I'm Adam.
And we love TV. Almost, that was close.
That was pretty good.
I feel like I haven't seen you in like 6 months. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
The holidays, the new year. But here we are, season two. Today we're talking about best besties or BFS, BFFs. My daughter would kill me if she heard me say that wrong. In TV history. We thought what better way to start season two than to talk about one of my favorite topics, and that's friendship. And right now in the background, the Carol Burnett Show is playing.
Nice.
And she worked with all of her close friends on that show, right?
Yeah, about that one.
Art Carney. Who else is on that show?
Oh, gosh.
Way to put you on the spot.
I know. A bunch of people whose faces I can remember and names I can't. It was the short balding guy.
Art Carney, right?
You are really...
That's all. Yeah. Good. It was sketch comedy, right?
Yeah.
And she always did a little message to her mom at the end with a little
cut. I loved that show. Yeah.
That's so cute.
That show led to Mama's House, right?
Yeah. Mama's Family was rated
one
of the worst.
Harvey Korman. Tim Conway. Tim Conway, who I was trying to think of.
Harvey Korman worked a lot with Mel Brooks on Mel Brooks films, right?
Yeah. So the cast of Carol Burnett Show is Carol Burnett, Harvey Korman, Vicki Lawrence, Lyle Wagner, Tim Conway, and Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke. You can never get enough Dick Van Dyke.
But it was mostly her and Tim Conway.
Yeah, they ran the show.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You can tell they were close. So we thought it'd be cool to talk about the 10, not the 10 best friends in TV history, but, you know, talk about best friends in TV history. Adam, you want to take us away on the list that you've acquired?
Hang on. I'm like, I don't have it pulled up. Yeah, this is great. It's like, famous duos, peanut butter and hot sauce.
It's peanut butter and jealous. Oh. Today's show is brought to you by our unsponsored sponsor, Pluto TV. Yes. Please check them out. Download that on any of the apps, Xbox One, PlayStation 4, pretty much any device out there. Pluto TV showcases nostalgic television as well as up-to-date news. It's like having cable TV in an app. And again, North Fresh Coffee Roasters. Use promo code PONDER at checkout for 10% off a subscription or a shipment. After you.
All right. I cannot find this list. I lost.
Oh, no worries. I'll start with one of the most.
I had everything ready before, and then I just like lost everything.
I will start with Screech and Zach Morris from Saved by the Bell.
Oh.
Now, a lot of people would disagree and say that one. Zach used Screech and like bullied and abused them, but they were really close.
Yeah. And you know what? It's a true representation of what relationships are like when you're a kid.
Exactly.
It's kind of like, it's like who, when you're young, especially if you're not like one of the popular kids, it's like, all right, who will hang out with me? You know? Yeah. And then it's just like, that's like who your friend pool becomes. And it's more out of like convenience than like, these are the people I want to be friends with for the rest of my life.
Yeah. This and Zach, probably,
what?
Zach loved Screech. I think they had
definitely.
Beautiful bromance. Definitely.
But it's kind of like, you know, it's the reason why, one reason why people don't stay friends with most of the people they were friends with in school. So once you get to be an adult, you're like, all right, now I can set boundaries. I can pick who I want to be.
Boundaries? I'm still working on that. What is a boundary?
I don't know. I'm still working on that myself.
Captain Kirk and Spock.
Oh, that's a good one.
Best friends through the millennial, right? Yeah. Through the millennia.
Yeah.
We actually got to see how their friendship started in the J.J. Abrams reboot in 2009, Star Trek. And they didn't have a very good start to their friendship. They were enemies.
I have the, because Kirk was a replacement captain, I have the original pilot with the
Pike, first, right?
Cool. Yeah, I have it on VHS. But then he dies, and then Captain Kirk replaces him. And it's so I think that's why Spock is apprehensive about him at first.
Yeah, and then Pike has been brought back in the Abrams movie as well. He made it to the second one, then got killed because a separate timeline. He got shot, assassinated. Yeah. And then I think he is actually a captain in Discovery for quite a bit of a couple of seasons of Discovery.
Pike. I've not seen Discovery.
I haven't either. It's way too fanciful looking for me. I have to really get into it. I love Star Trek. But yeah, that friendship lasted.
Oh yeah. And then all the movies too, going into the 80s. Like, so when did that show start? Late 50s or early 60s?
66.
Okay.
Let's yeah, and it ran 64, for
66, yeah.
It only ran for 2 or 3 seasons and then kept getting resurrected by like the cartoon and then the conventions and then 1980 came the movie. The movie was trying to keep up with like Empire Strikes Back and Star Trek. And
that was like 5 movies, right?
Wait. Oh my God.
I have the set on VHS. I just can't think of how many tapes it is. Like
12.
The spines make up the Enterprise.
Because Star Trek Nemesis was 10. And then there's 3. Oh, there's 13.
Well, yeah, there's those 2. I was just thinking with Spock and Kirk.
Oh, they did 6.
Yeah. Right, 6.
But altogether, there's 13. Star Trek 5 was an abomination. We won't talk about that. That one was awful. Who else?
Wait, is 5 Search for Spock?
5 is the Final Frontier or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it was... awful.
I was gonna say, because I know a lot of people don't like Search for Spock, but I love that one. But maybe it's because
I think Star Trek 5 is when they went and found God, and Kirk, William Shatner directed and wrote, and it was awful. It like they went from Star Trek 4, which like put that whole franchise on everyone. I mean, it totally
it was huge. Man.
Everyone was into Star Trek at that point because that number 4 was so relatable. And then they follow it up with James T. Kirk, William Shatner, AKA Narcissist, wanted to write and direct. And he wrote one about them finding God and God had laser eyes and was really bad. Another famous duo here, Adam West and Burt Ward as Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Best friends. I always thought their friendship was a little homoerotic, but that's okay. You know, super close best friends can have huggy sessions and wear tight spandex together.
I got a good one. This is it's not on my list. This is like an honorable mention though.
Yeah.
Kermit and Fozzie.
Kermit and Fozzie are best friends. Who's the more, I don't think any of them are emotionally stable though.
No.
Especially Kermit, he's not emotionally stable. He can't get over
Miss Piggy. No, Jim Henson and Frank Oz, they're not. They're just like.
She was abusive.
Very vulnerable.
She was physically and verbally abusive to Kermit.
Miss Piggy? Yeah.
She would punch him and he would fly. And
He would fly across the room into the wall.
It's not funny, ladies and gentlemen. Not funny. Husband battering is a thing.
Wow. Yeah.
We shouldn't laugh at it. If you are a victim of husband battering, please, the number right here, call this number. Just kidding. I'm not going to have a number. Fozzie Bear.
Jorge won't take care of that. He's going to.
Jorge. Oh, yeah. Our intern, Jorge. He is late today. He didn't show up for the first time. I'm a little annoyed with him. Last I heard, he was traveling with some band cross country. Isn't that what you heard? They were doing some
he was a roadie for sound or something.
He band, yeah, and he kept hitting me up for my, like $20 on Venmo. I'm like, all right, man, get your life. You're like 35, dude. Jorge, the things we do for these people. Kevin Arnold and Paul Pfeiffer.
That's on my list. That's on my list.
Talk about
another kind of toxic relationship.
Toxic to the, I mean, yeah. They hated each other, but then were in love with each other. Like they were bromance to the T. I mean,
yeah. Kevin was a dick.
Kevin was you know what? He is a dick.
Oh yeah.
Temperamental Capricorn.
Especially the first few seasons.
He's a dick. I remember the episode where he wanted to get Winnie's attention, so he started doing all his dances. Remember that? He ended up falling. But then Paul Pfeiffer lost his virginity before Kevin, remember? And that was a dark episode, and it wasn't a good experience for Paul. And Kevin was jealous that it happened to him first, and then jealous that he didn't tell him.
That was like the final season, right?
They never explained what happened, but Paul was traumatized from losing his virginity. It was weird. I think most people are when it first happens. It's not like it's awkward and kind of awful. So I think they kind of captured it. It wasn't like this romantic. They weren't romanticized.
Yeah.
What about Corey and?
Yeah, I know the other.
What's his Corey name? And-
Writer Sean. Corey and Sean, also
from Boy Meets World. And Topanga was in there a little bit. But they had a very toxic relationship too, I would say.
Yeah, a little bit. But Corey was genuinely concerned for Sean.
Sean made a lot of mistakes. Remember when Sean joined the cult, the hugging cult? And
Yes.
That was sad, and Sean was like, Corey was holding him like, this is what a real hug is, like from your
friends. Yeah.
Not some weird cult.
Yeah. So weird. That was such a California thing, but they were like in Philly. Like
Mr. Feeney had to like go to the intervention. I'm like, this teacher's working overtime, dude.
He started working at the college.
Yeah,
like
so ridiculous. He's just following his kids around. I would say that Corey and Mr. Feeney also had a very close bromance thing going on. Like father.
Oh, son. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kind
of weird thing going on.
And in later seasons, they were like, they made Eric, the older brother, and Feeney into like a duo.
Oh,
that's adorable.
They started dating or?
No. They just like made it. Maybe I have to look for the implications.
Hey, I don't judge, man. Love.
All I know is they started hanging out a lot.
Love is love is love.
Yep.
George and Jerry from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Such
keep hitting my list.
Yeah. We're on the same wavelength. We're BFFs. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yep.
I always thought that the most powerful best friend duos were polar opposites, and Jerry and George could not be more opposite. George is neurotic, Capricorn, self-centered, borderline narcissist. I would say covert narcissist in a lot of ways.
He
thinks way too highly of himself for what he's presenting to the world.
He dumps on himself often, but that's like it's almost like a guise to get people to give him other kind of praise, you know?
Yeah. And then Jerry, I would say, is full of himself too, but a lot more confident. And they get in the most ridiculous situations together.
Yeah.
Just by observing or by lying, or they get obsessed. The show, I think, is about obsession with what you can't have. That's pretty much what I have ascertained. Seinfeld is always about, they're always obsessing with what they can't have, like a business or a date or toys. Remember the episode where George's girlfriend had all those toys, but she wouldn't let him
play. Oh, yeah.
It's terrible because he like drugs her to play with them.
Yes, just, yeah.
He drugs her with wine and turkey.
Yeah, he puts
storylines that would not work today.
I can't
He roofied his girlfriend to play with toys. That storyline would never go today. Oh my god. Terrible.
Gosh.
Who else?
Just if you're just listening, it sounds like we're laughing, but it's more like
We're not laughing at roofing
mafia. Yeah, part. We're just like, we can't believe it was on TV.
Yeah. Not a storyline that did not age well.
Yeah. Yeah. The other side of that is the Larry and Richard duo from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh yeah, Richard. The actor that was on the Jamie Lee Curtis.
Richard Lewis.
Yeah, those two are
Larry Davis. Just,
and Larry and his manager too, Jeff.
Yeah, I don't know if they're necessarily best friends though, you know?
Yeah. They hang out quite a bit though. They're so
tough. They hang out quite a bit. But it's mostly getting lunch together.
Yeah.
Like Jeff's always coming to his office and like, let's get lunch.
Jeff is always wearing shirts that are like two.
I sounded like Super Dave just then.
Yeah, you know. Poor Dave Osborne. God bless him. He was so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
He really was really good on that show. I was going to say Jeff always wore on purpose. I heard his character always wore shirts that were like a size too small.
Mm.
His gut is always just protruding. And it's not like he's the biggest man in the world, but
he
kind of wanted that character to, I don't know, be uncomfortable.
He's playing like a tacky agent, right?
Yeah.
Or and manager.
Constantly cheating on his wife, and it's an ongoing joke. Yep.
Yeah.
And Larry knows it's so terrible. It's an ongoing joke. And no one.
Well, and in the later seasons, Larry starts feeling guilty about it.
Yeah, a little
like bit. Anytime he wants to cover for him, he's just like,
he's like, it's not good karma. Can't keep covering.
And it's funny too, because he was friends with Susie and introduced her to Jeff.
Yeah.
But then him and Jeff become friends and him and Susie become mortal enemies.
Susie is she's crazy.
She's great though. She like fills a role, you know, she's really good at making you hate her.
And she does genuinely care about Larry.
But there's like
moments
you shouldn't, but the other side of the coin is you shouldn't hate her. Right. Because like, Jeff is like constantly cheating on her and stuff.
Larry's an asshole.
And her behavior, it's almost like she psychically knows something is up and she is acting in accordance.
Remember the doll head when he cut the hair of the doll?
Yeah.
They came home and she was in the driveway and he's like, oh shit. Fuck. Another one that we don't think about, but you sent me, we're going to play the song later. Lucy and Ethel.
Yeah.
Couldn't be more polar opposite. Lucy was bored housewife,
mm-hmm.
constantly wanting a spotlight, constantly in trouble. Ethel was, I want to say Ethel drank during the day. I get that vibe from
her. She's a day drinker.
Day drinker. And she had to put up with Fred. Fred and Ricky were best friends, right?
They hung out. They definitely hung out. But I think that was more out of convenience. I wouldn't say they were best friends. Lucy and Ethel definitely were just like always up in
each always together and always up to something.
Yeah.
I had a friend like that growing up. He was my best friend for a while. His name was Kevin. And I would always tag along to his crazy schemes. Like, you know, he wanted to get into raccoon catching at one point,
mm-hmm.
where he would actually like kill raccoons and then give them to fur trappers.
Okay. And
his mom caught us once, with bow and arrows and like hunting gear. And she's like, how come you do everything this idiot says? I don't know. She goes, you don't hunt. You don't even know how to shoot arrows. And I'm trying to like justify this to her with like hot cocoa at her breakfast table at 6 a.m. She goes, you're an idiot. Like you look ridiculous. And I was like head to toe in like hunting gear. I would say Theo and Cockroach from the Cosby Show.
Oh, that's a good one.
Always in trouble together.
Good one.
Who was the worst best friend that would always get you in trouble? Like the bad influence best friend. I feel like Lucy from Peanuts was always getting in trouble. Or Peppermint Patty was always trying to get. Marcy was Peppermint Patty's best friend and she was always in trouble because Peppermint
Patty. Yeah, she was always getting Marcy in trouble. Yeah.
And she called
Marcy. By association.
Marcy called Peppermint Patty, sir. Sir. It's so ahead of its time. Marcy had all that feminine. Peppermint Patty exuded feminine energy. My God.
Yeah.
I would say Lucy was a bad influence on Ethel for sure.
I think also Ethel liked hanging out with Lucy because she was younger than her and had more going on.
Oh yeah, Ethel was
certainly- like Ethel was just they just were landlords. Ethel and
yeah, like I said, Ethel. I think Ethel was three sheets to the wind by 2 o'clock, like the shard of me, you know, just a drunk. And then Lucy kept her out of trouble. I mean,
especially in those times, right? That wouldn't even be. It would just be normal for her to be a day drinker if she was like a landlord, you know, had a passive income.
Yeah, just sit at home, wait for Fred to get home.
Lots of housewives were day drinkers back then. It was like,
oh yeah, lots of bosses were. Arthur Fonzarelli and
Richie Cunningham,
best friends.
That's a good one.
He was
Ponzi and what's his name? Patsy and other one.
Yeah, the redhead, right? And
they were like best friends too.
Those guys were attached at the hip. My God.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a period of time when you and your best friend were just attached at the hip and people questioned if you were more like that happened to me?
And Kevin, we
were like inseparable. And my mom, I remember one time my mom heard the shower going and she goes, "Are you and Kevin showering together?" I'm like, "No, why would you think that? What the hell?" It's a good idea. It saves time. But like, whoa, why did you assume that? She goes, "Well, you guys do everything else together." And I'm just like, whatever, mom. You're just jealous because you never had friends. Like this. But yeah, she assumed that we were showering just because, I mean, he was probably in the shower and I was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, we're going to just shower together in front of the whole family. I mean, come on. That's weird. Well, this took a weird turn.
Me and my best friend, Sam, when I was in my teens, everybody thought we were together. because we always slept at each other's houses all the time. It was like, who sleeps at people's house with
them? Yeah, your best friend. And the,
like, I don't know. We have sleepovers, whatever. Who cares how old
you are? Best friend, you can sleep in like a twin bed with them and it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And any other dude that you sleep at sleepovers with, you have to have that like barrier, the pillow barrier. It's like the gay barrier, like straight guys always put up. I never understood that. Like, what's the pillow going to do? What is that there for? Men are dumb. Young men are dumb. Who else can I think about? I have a list here too. Chandler and Joey.
Yeah.
Roommates and best friends. So they were bored a lot. They were borderline a couple. I mean, remember when they fought and it was like the saddest episode ever? Mm-hmm. They weren't speaking to each other and Joey went and stayed with Ross. And I remember Chandler just like watching the rain. Missing Joey. Yeah. Ridiculous. Oh my God, those two.
Yeah. I had Monica, Rachel, and Phoebe written down.
The three of them, right? Nonstop.
Yeah.
They were roommates. The three of them were roommates, right?
Yeah. For most of it. And then
didn't one of them move out?
Phoebe moved out.
She wanted her independence. She became a taxi driver and moved out. I like how they lived in like 3,800 square feet.
Yeah, in New York City, and they were like young. They were like in their early 20s.
Anthropologist is not going to pay those bills. I'm sorry.
He would have been the highest paid of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, because they were one of them worked as a barista, Rachel.
Yeah, Rachel worked as a
barista. And Joey was Chandler was always paying his rent because he was
Joey. Yeah, because he was an actor. Yeah, who mostly just went on auditions.
Like, yeah, never. He had that one stint on
the soap opera.
Dr. Drake Gamora.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then he fell down an elevator shaft. And Gilligan and Skipper, best friends.
Yep.
But also a very abusive. Skipper was physically abusing Gilligan. Remember?
Yeah.
Calling him a nerd and throwing him downstairs. It was a very abusive relationship. Didn't like
that. Huh. Yeah, he was constantly telling Gilligan how inferior he was.
Yeah, Gilligan, you just can't, you numbskull.
Yeah, unless he did something good, and then he would just reward him with like, you know, like, good job, little buddy. or something like that.
Yeah, it was very like, he treated him like a dog, you know? He would pet him. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. He would pet his hat. He'd like hold him in his arm and like pet his.
Very. Another abusive, toxic best friend trio with the Three Stooges, Larry, Curly, and Mo. Mm-hmm. They were very, like, physically and verbally abusive.
Two of them were brothers, right?
I think Larry and Mo were.
Yeah.
And then Curly was always the outlier.
Yeah.
Friend, you know. That's so funny. Yeah. Constantly living together, always scheming. Would get ahead by getting a good job, and then
they would lose it.
I was involved with something terrible. Scooby-Doo and Shaggy, best friend.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Definitely not good for each other. They were both chicken shits. Shaggy was a pothead. Didn't work. Kind of like what would you say?
I think Scooby was too. What were those Scooby snaps?
Yeah. Was getting high. Was Fred a beatnik? Fred and Velma and Daphne.
Fred was more like a hipster or like a. Yeah, because Shaggy was the beatnik. Shaggy he looked like Maynard G. Krebs.
I think Fred was my first like cartoon. Which,
that's another good duo, Dobie and Maynard, from the Many Loves of Dobie Gillis.
That's an old sitcom.
Yeah. Yeah. Talking about Gilligan, Bob Denver. Yeah, that was Bob Denver.
He's related to John Denver, right?
Is he?
I thought so.
Is John Denver his son or something?
I think they're brothers.
No, Bob Denver's a lot older than John Denver, isn't he?
Is he? Our Bob Denver. Let's Google it. Our Bob and John Denver related.
Google. Other people are asking it too.
He is not related. Damn.
Oh. Because John Denver's real name is Deutschendorf.
Awesome. Who else? Really good duos. I just thought of one. The Fresh Prince and...
Yes.
And his cousin.
Jazz. Oh, and Carlton. Yeah.
Carlton and Will were best friends.
They become best friends.
Yeah.
They're definitely not at first.
Not at all.
They're like frenemies that like slowly after like 5 years, they're like best friends.
You know that Fresh Prince is rebooted completely now on Peacock as a drama, right?
Yeah, from that trailer that guy made. Yeah. We should do one like that. That thing was amazing.
What would you reboot that was a comedy?
I don't know. I would reboot something. I would do a Sanford and Son, because most people don't even know Sanford and Son is a reboot. That's how good a reboot is.
Is it Amy
Samantha? No, I can't remember what it was. But it was also about a junkyard owner. Like, it was the same show, but much earlier. But I would pick a show like... there was a show that Michael Keaton and Jim Belushi and Paul Rubens were on.
What?
Called... oh gosh, I'll bring over. I have a VHS of it, of the episodes that were released. It was called Working Stiffs, it's called.
And you brought that up a lot. You really like that show.
Yeah, it was great. And it's basically about two guys who are like two roommates who are always looking for work. They live above a restaurant that Paul Rubens is a waiter in.
It's not a theater, is it?
What?
It's not
No, it's not a theater. It's like a diner.
You get the joke, right?
Yeah.
My mom didn't let us watch Pee Wee Herman after that.
That sucked. Well, it went off the air after that. They like pulled it. It was in syndication though. But
bad Pee Wee, bad.
So that was a Norman Lear too.
No wee wee for the Pee Wee.
Sanford and Son.
Yeah. Norman Lear is still alive and kicking. I don't understand it.
I know, man. We have to get him on.
I know. I wrote them an email and they didn't respond. at all. Would you say that Walter White and Jesse are best friends?
I wrote them down on my list.
Through happenstance, right?
Yeah. They definitely become friends, but then Walt definitely betrays Jesse's friendship.
Oh, multiple times.
Yeah. And I mean, especially when he lets his girlfriend die.
God, that was
rough stuff. Keep
coming back to Breaking Bad. I love it. You can end every episode.
It's one of the best shows ever.
It is so good.
Like, I don't want it to be, you know, like, but it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
You know who I would say is?
It's just a hard show to watch a lot.
It is. It takes the humanity. It takes the humanity out of things.
They had like a kill count of like 278 people.
And like 30 of them when Walt ordered that prison hit in the very first 10 minutes of that one. Let's get it over again to that music.
Yeah.
So oh my
gosh.
Take a deep breath. Dun, 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 dun. Start all over again. He's like making coffee and people are getting shivved in.
Yeah.
And one guy gets it really bad in the prison cell. They like pour gasoline in there and trap him in there. Holy shit. Woo! I would say Carl Winslow and Urkel were another pair of BFFs.
That, yeah.
They got really close.
They did become BFFs. And that was another like enemies turned friends.
Yeah. Kind of like Cody and Patrick Duffy. They became best friends. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so cute. That was his uncle, right? His uncle by marriage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No. That was his uncle.
Okay.
Not by marriage. It just was his uncle.
Really?
And close. He like had to come live with them to save the show to make it last longer.
Yeah.
The new guy.
That actor, Sasha something. He was a cutie pie.
Yeah.
Kind of fell off the wagon.
And he beat his wife, remember?
Oh no.
That's why he left that's why they pulled him from the show suddenly.
What an idiot.
But then Jason Marsden and who was the son? They were best friends on that show too, on Step by Step.
Oh, James Marsden and
no, not James, Jason.
Hobie? No, he played Hobie in Baywatch. That same kid. JT.
Yeah, yep.
JT and James Marsden. Interesting. Balky and Larry from Perfect Strangers, best friend.
Yes, that's a good one.
I mean, talk about that was the odd couple premise. Like that was Felix and what is it, Felix and Oscar from the odd couple. That whole like completely different world type best friend situation going on there. We have 10 minutes. How much more can we talk about?
Okay, so I got a few more on my list. Laverne and Shirley. Loved that show when I was a kid.
Laverne was like outgoing, like hypersexual, and Shirley was more like, you know,
reserved
Christian. They moved to Milwaukee together, right? Or she moves to Milwaukee and they.
Yeah, they work at a beer factory.
At a beer factory with Lenny and Squiggy.
Squiggy.
And that show was like borderline feminist movement. Like it had a lot of. The storylines were all over the place that show.
Yeah. I remember both of them shutting men down.
Yeah.
When they behaved like in ways that they didn't want, you know, like when
they did not make the greaser movement look good at all. I mean, Lenny and Squeak were fucking morons.
Yeah.
Bumbling.
But I was, they were always dating other guys though. Remember? They always had dates with other people, you know?
Yeah.
And they were always going on double dates and stuff. But I also have Beavis and Butthead.
Oh yeah. Yep.
On my list.
Classic. You know who else? Michael P. Keaton and Skippy Handelman.
Oh man. That's a good one.
Talk about like the love those characters had for each other.
Skippy.
Skippy was like
he was
such a good
what happened? Character. How did he leave the show? I just remember crying.
Skippy was all the way up until the very end. He showed up to say goodbye, I think, to
I thought he like went, he moved away or something. He had like a similar fate, like Boner from Growing Pains. Boner and Mike Seaver. That was another good duo. Beats duo. And what Boner joined the military. I remember that.
Oh, he was there. He was there until the very end.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was canon up until the very end. Erwin Skippy Handelman. He had a crush on Mallory. That was an ongoing. And Mallory just, she was the meanest character. She was
realistic, yeah.
Mean, self-centered. I love the dynamic between her and Alex B. Keaton. They were the brother-sister dynamic.
And yeah, Tina, they were a great brother-sister. I knew brothers and sisters like that.
Yeah, Tina the Others never got anything from that show. They never really gave her much.
No.
Her and Brian Hunzel were the...
I remember her like starting a band after that.
Yeah, like a punk band. She was in Laker Girls. Remember the Laker Girls movie? I remember being a teenager and like... It was a made-for-TV movie and she played like a Laker Girls choreographer and... Scantily clad on CBS girls, and me and my brothers are like, oh my god, these girls are almost naked. You can see their butts.
I never saw them. I got five more.
Let's do it. We have
the Golden Girls.
All of them.
They're one of the best. All of them. They're shit. The theme song, Thank You for Being a Friend.
Come on. Thank you for being a friend.
That's all that show is about is friendship. Bert and Ernie.
Oh my god.
They're one of my favorites.
I think they finally came out, right? They're lovers, right?
Did they? I don't know.
I mean, there's so
many. I'm not sure.
Don't Google that, by the way. You'll get some weird shit.
And then JD and Turk.
Who?
From JD and Turk, another toxic relationship. From Scrubs.
Yeah. I never saw Scrubs.
Oh, okay.
I need to.
Is it toxic? Sometimes
they live together, right?
Yeah. Sometimes JD is toxic. Most of the time they act like 12-year-old best friends.
Mm.
Like the way they talk and like interact with each other versus how they talk to other people.
I need to watch Scrubs, dude.
And then I got two more.
Yeah.
These are two of my favorites. This is one I always wish there was a show. Marcus and Mo from Smart Guy. Omar Gooding and
Smart Guy, little kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That was a twin's little brother, right? From Sister.
Yep. Yep. The Maori brother.
Yeah, he grew up to be on
Jason Weaver. That's what it was. Jason Weaver.
He grew up to be on Baby Daddy, which is a show on Freeform. Really good show.
Yeah, I always thought they should get a show because they like, I feel like at the end of that show, they were like graduating high school. So they could have just made a spinoff of them in college.
Yeah.
Or post high school, whatever it was they had them do. And then this is one of my favorite friendships, Leslie Knope and Ann Perkins.
Oh my god, from Parks and Rec. When Ann moved away, I was a mess.
Oh man, I was crying like almost that whole episode.
That reminds me of when we've moved away from each other like three times now. When I moved from Poughkeepsie, that was rough. And then I moved from Portland and that was also rough. So two times. No, I moved to LA.
Then yeah, you moved to LA too. Yep. Yeah.
Every time we cried. Oh, I don't like thinking about that shit. It makes me sad. Who else? We have a few more minutes. Who are my favorites? Oh, you know who was one that we don't think about very often is Mark Green and Douglas Ross on ER.
Oh, yes.
Very close friends. Mm-hmm. And their friendship, like, stood all kinds of tests.
Yeah.
They were constantly like at each other's throats for what was right. Law and Order SVU. What's their names? The two cops.
Maloney. Harding and, I'm like, I don't know what
they're called. Maloney and Marisha Hargitay.
Yeah.
Their characters. Would you say Bart?
Yeah, Bart and yeah, that was one of
What's Bart's friend?
Milhouse.
Yeah. Who's Homer's best friend? Homer doesn't have a best friend.
I don't know.
Marge?
But the Lenny and oh gosh, what are their names? From Simpsons, the two best friends, Lenny.
They hang out with Homer at the bar all the time.
Yeah, yeah. They're always doing stuff together.
Would you say Peter Griffith's best friend is Quagmire or Cleveland? I think it's Cleveland. I think it's
It's Cleveland, but I don't know. I was gonna say Brian, but Brian and Stewie are more like.
Oh yeah, those two.
Wow,
that's such a great duo. I love that shit.
Lenny and Carl. That's what it is. Lenny and Carl.
From Simpsons. Well, this has been a great return. We're gonna be doing this weekly. We're aiming for 52 episodes this year, and a couple of specials, and like maybe even some shorts. We're working on an actual screenplay called the TV Time Machine movie. I love the idea of that. So we'll keep you. We'll read
that extra. Synopsis was hysterical when you said.
Yeah, it's like, a genie that
I was like, we got to do this.
Eli, my son, actually helped us come up with the storyline. So I think it'd be cool to read like different parts of Act 1, 2, and 3, and on the show with our guests, have them. Basically, the premise is we get sucked into actual TV shows and have to solve each episode out to get back, and we get
we have to remember what happens.
We have to remember what happens, and it's actual show, so we'll get sucked into Happy Days, and all the characters in the show see us as the characters, but everyone watching the movie will see us as ourselves. So Adam might become the Fonz, you know, and has to like literally jump the shark or something, and I have to like support him to do it, even though it's scary. And we have to do it because an evil genie that gets bored curse on us. It's a good storyline. I would see that. I would pay to see that, you know?
Yeah, dude.
Cool. So from the TV Time Machine podcast, I'm Luis.
And I'm Adam.
And we love TV. See you next time. And thank you so much for being here. Bye-bye.
Okay.
TV Time Machine, TV Time Machine, woo! TV Time Machine, TV Time Machine, TV Time Machine, TV Time Machine.